Welcome to the Stonebridge Community Church online worship service. Today you'll hear the Word of God read, the message from this weekend's in-person service, and two songs to guide you in worship. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, everyone. If you're new or visiting, I'm Pastor John, the senior pastor here at Stonebridge. And if you're not new or visiting and you were here 2 weeks ago, you remember that I told you we would all get through the time change together. And then if you were here last week, you know that I was gone. I abandoned you to your devices. I was down in San Diego with some friends. We do an annual trip from college. We've been doing it for well over a decade now. So that's where I was. But I'm sorry that I was not there for you in your time of need. But I see that you all made it and we survived. God is faithful. So right now during this season, we're doing the sermon series focused on Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. It begins in Luke chapter 9, where Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem. And then in Luke chapter 19, Jesus enters Jerusalem. And he's going to Jerusalem to take up his call, his vocation as the Messiah. That's what God has called Jesus to do. He's going to Jerusalem to go to the cross, to die that the world might be saved, and to be resurrected that death might be overcome. So as Jesus takes up his call, we've been trying to look for different ways in which we could discern the call God places on our lives, ways to understand how God works in the world. And this series isn't meant to answer the question for you, what is God calling you to? Nobody can give you that clear of an answer except God. It's meant to nudge us in different directions, to open up our eyes to the ways in which God may be working, to narrow down some possibilities and to help us look at how God calls us and what it is God calls us to and what the limits of that call are, the nature of that call. So we're going to be looking at really the last story that we have of Jesus before he enters into Jerusalem. It's from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and this is the last thing Jesus does before he will enter into Jerusalem as the Messiah. So I invite you to hear God's word. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is God's word. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, as we are gathered here to reflect on your word, to reflect on your scriptures, we ask that you would speak clearly to us. Lord, help us to understand how you fulfilled your call, the ways in which you fulfilled your call, that we might understand the call you place on us as your followers. Help us to look at your actions to see how we should act in this world. Help us to look at how you behaved and what you did to see how we should behave and what we should do in this world, Lord. Open up our eyes, our hearts, our ears, our minds, that we might be your followers in this world, revealing to this world your character and your love and your acceptance, Lord. So speak to us now. We, your servants, are listening, Lord. We ask this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm sure each and every one of us has had at least one moment where you were in a situation surrounded by people, and you just didn't feel like you belonged. The way people were looking at you, the way you felt internally, you knew you didn't belong. Sometimes those moments can be lighthearted. Sometimes they can be almost traumatic. I remember for me, one of the more lighthearted ones that I experienced was all the way back in 2002. Now, many of you know I'm a baseball fan, and in 2002, I was living in Orange County. The Anaheim Angels went on this miraculous run to the World Series. I don't know if they even had one Hall of Famer on that team. It was this team of players that were scrappy, and it was exciting, and it was fun. And I have to confess to you, though I am not an Angel fan, and I stress that over and over, I am a Dodger fan. And as we get going here, you're going to need to trust me on that. But though I am not an Angel fan, I got caught up in this also. And one day during the playoffs, my brother called me, and he said, "Hey, I've got tickets to a game. Do you want to go?" And I said, "Yes." And then he said, "Okay, great, but you're going to have to dress up." And I said, "What?" See, the thing you have to understand is I despise costumes and dressing up. If I go to a costume party, I go as Clark Kent because it's easy. So I do not like dressing up. But I also like baseball. And baseball won, so I said to my brother, "Okay, what do you want me to do?" He said, "Go get an Angels shirt and go get like red shorts and just wear a red Angel shirt, red shorts." I said, "Okay, I can do that. I can do that." So I show up to Angel Stadium. We're tailgating there, my brother, some of his friends. And then my brother looks at me and says, "That's a good start." And I said, "What?" And he handed me red body paint. And he said, "Cover yourself in this." I was already there. I was committed. I got to confess, I did it. And then he handed me spray hair dye, white spray hair dye. He said, "Put this in your hair." This is also my older brother, so it's hard to say no. And then he handed me tiny little angel wings from a costume for children and said, "Put this on." I confess to you all, I did it. And I looked absolutely ridiculous. The only thing that saves me here is that there's no embarrassing photos of this that are up on the internet. There you go. Except for that one that my siblings, both of them, have made sure is up there on Facebook. Again, I'm a Dodger fan, okay? Just trust me. Don't use this against me. I know I didn't expect there'd be an Angel fan in the crowd, but Adam, you're here, and don't use this against me. But here's what ended up happening. We were there tailgating, and a reporter came over to us because this reporter wanted to hear from diehard Angel fans about what it felt like to have your team do this well in the playoffs. Don't take pictures. Put that down. It's already on Facebook. Just find it. But this reporter wanted to hear what it felt like from long-suffering Angel fans. And he came up to me, and he started asking me questions. I tried to fake it. But I don't like the Angels. I wasn't an Angel fan. And there was just this moment where between me and this reporter, it was like, "What are you doing?" And he was correct. I really did not belong there wearing that. It was a ridiculous moment. And it was an uncomfortable feeling knowing that I was that being that fake. That feeling of I don't belong here, it's something we all experience at some point. And I share that story to maybe unlock for you some of those feelings that you've had in those moments. And maybe you've had more severe moments of that as well. But it's important to understand that feeling because the person in the scripture story that we're talking about, Zacchaeus, that feeling of I don't belong here was his entire adult life. That's what he would have been living with. Every single day. Because Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. And in Jesus' day, tax collectors, they didn't just take money. They extorted people. And they didn't just extort people, they were sellouts. What the Roman Empire would do is go to different provinces that it had conquered and pull people from that group, from that nation, from that country that they had conquered, and get them to turn and to oppress their own people. It wasn't just about the money. It was about reminding the other people that we have some of your nation that is helping us to oppress you. So the tax collectors, they were sellouts. So when Zacchaeus would be walking around town, everybody would be looking at him with suspicion. Everybody would be looking at him saying, "You're not actually one of us. You're a traitor. You betrayed us." He would have been living with that feeling. And not only is he a tax collector, we're told he's a chief tax collector. So he's up top with the whole mafia boss thing there. That's how he would have been viewed. And he would have been living with that feeling over and over and over again. Every day, Zacchaeus would have been having people telling him, "You don't belong here." Which is why I think it's so surprising that this is the last story that we have of Jesus before he enters Jerusalem. As he's taking up his call, this is the final lesson Luke wants us to understand about Jesus, about his ministry, about what he was doing. And it's surprising to me the way Zacchaeus is described in this story. I mean, first, if you look at the verbs that Luke uses to describe Zacchaeus, you get this sense of energy with him. He's seeking to see Jesus. He's desiring to see Jesus. He's running. He's climbing. He's hurrying. Zacchaeus is moving around. There's this activity all the time. He's trying to do everything he can to get to Jesus. But the crowd stops him. You can imagine a circle around Jesus of people, and Zacchaeus can't get into that circle. He's on the outside. He's almost bouncing off of it regularly, trying to get to Jesus, is the way I read this. But the crowd stops him. And we're told it's because he is of short stature. Now, many scholars have said Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. You guys know that song? We're taught to focus on the fact that he was short, but that phrase, short in stature, it may not necessarily be talking about his height. I don't want to ruin the song for you. Keep singing it. Not right now, but later. But it may not be talking about his height. It could be talking about his reputation. Short in stature or low in stature could also be low in reputation, that people are looking down on him. And it also might just be a play on words here where it's meaning both of those things. But if the crowd appreciated Zacchaeus, if the crowd liked Zacchaeus, if the crowd wanted Zacchaeus there, thought he belonged there, they would have made room for him. But they don't. He's not able to see Jesus. The crowd won't let him. So he ends up climbing up on a tree. And then as Jesus is walking by, Jesus points right at him and says, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down from there, because I have to eat at your house today." It's at this point that the crowd grumbles. We're told all who saw this began to grumble. The Greek word there for grumbling, it evokes almost a noise, like, the word itself has all these G sounds in it, that you can hear them, the whole crowd, the groan that would emerge from them, just saying, "Jesus, what are you doing? He's a chief tax collector. He's a sinner. Why are you going to go to his house?" Now, think about who's in that crowd. These are people at least curious about Jesus. But we're told by Luke that it's all who saw this. And as he's getting ready to enter into Jerusalem, it's not just people who are curious about him. It's people who have been following Jesus. It's people who are Jesus' disciples, who have seen him behave, who shouldn't be surprised by what Jesus is doing, and yet all grumbled, we're told. Peter was likely there grumbling. James and John were likely there grumbling. All were upset that Jesus was reaching out to Zacchaeus here. All of them were grumbling. I think this is what we do as human beings. You go back and look at any sort of society, any sort of group of people, whether we want to admit it or not, there are groups of people, types of people that we exclude. Every single human society has done this in some way. And when those people that we try to exclude are then brought in, when they're accepted, we grumble, we complain. They're not worthy. They don't belong. They're going to ruin everything. They're the ones making things horrible. We complain. We grumble. That's what that crowd was doing that day. That's what we still do today. If we're honest with ourselves, We all have lists in our head of people that we don't believe belong. And sometimes maybe you put yourself on that list also. You don't think you belong. But we grumble. We complain. That crowd, what it's doing that day, is very, very human. And I think it's interesting the way Luke presents this. It's not Jesus who rebukes them. It's actually Zacchaeus. After the crowd is grumbling, Zacchaeus stands up for himself here. Now, this speech that Zacchaeus gives, there's a little bit of a, not a problem with it, but it's a little quirky the way Luke writes this. If you were to go and look at the translation that I read, Zacchaeus uses the future tense. I'll read it again here. In the NRSV, it says, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. I will. He's making a commitment about the future with this translation. The NIV has it the same way. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." So in that translation, Zacchaeus experiences Jesus reaching out to him and makes a commitment for the future. He changes his ways. There's a repentance. And in that translation, the focus is really on Zacchaeus and the change that he's making. And that's what makes him acceptable. But if you go to the New King James Version, it says, "Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.'" It's the present tense. Common English Bible has it the same way. "Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much.'" Again, present tense. When you look at it in Greek, it's in the present tense. Luke doesn't use the future tense for Zacchaeus' speech. It's present. And I'm not just giving you a random grammar lesson here, though that would be fun for me. I think this matters. Because in the first one, the focus is on Zacchaeus. He makes a change. He repents. But in that second interpretation, which is closer to the Greek, the focus is actually on the crowd. Because they've misjudged Zacchaeus. He's saying that I've already been paying back people fourfold if I've ever cheated them. That I already give more than I have to the poor. He's already been doing these things, but the crowd has thrown that label of chief tax collector on him. They've excluded him because of their impression of who they thought he was without actually knowing him. You see the difference there? It's fairly significant, and I have to tell you, nobody knows exactly which sense Zacchaeus meant. So you got to just pick a side. I lean towards the present tense, that Zacchaeus is stating commitments he's already been practicing, that the crowd has misjudged him, that the crowd has excluded him for no real reason just because he fits this category that they dislike. Just makes sense with the way Luke describes how the crowd is groaning and grumbling about it. But whichever route you want to take on this passage, the truth is that what Zacchaeus says here is shocking. This is surprising. This is not what anybody there would have expected a tax collector to do or to say, either making that commitment or showing he's already been giving to the poor and paying back people. Either way, it's surprising. I think that's why Luke has this as Jesus' last story before he enters Jerusalem. Throughout his ministry, Jesus has been doing this very same thing that he's doing with Zacchaeus with multiple other people, with sinners, other tax collectors, with prostitutes, with the people that society had pushed to the side. Jesus has been bringing them to the center. They're eating dinner with Jesus. They're spending time with him. They become his followers. Jesus does this over and over again. And what I think you learn when you're willing to let go of the reasons that you might exclude somebody or exclude a group of people, when you let go of that and you actually get to know someone, they're going to surprise you. Because the truth is, each and every human being has the image of God in them. It might be fragmented in some ways. It might be a poor reflection, but somewhere each of us reflects God. And Jesus was willing to accept Zacchaeus in front of all of these people because he knew that truth. And Zacchaeus surprised everyone that day. Accepting others was a core part of Jesus' ministry. That was what he spent his time doing here in the Gospel of Luke. And in a very real way, we get a visual of this. I mean, think about this story with Zacchaeus. Like I said, Luke describes him as having all this energy. He's running, he's climbing, he's hurrying, he's moving. He's trying to see Jesus. He won't stop until he sees Jesus. And then Jesus calls him down, brings him right to the center. And we're told Zacchaeus stood, or Zacchaeus stopped. You could translate it either way. And where is Zacchaeus standing? Where does he stop? In the middle of everything. This person who was literally on the outside of the whole scene has now been brought to the very middle, to the center. Everybody is looking at him. He is right there. And in that position is where Jesus says that he is a son of Abraham. Go back to the moment that you thought of when we were talking about that feeling of, I don't belong here. And put yourself with that feeling in Zacchaeus' shoes, experiencing that every day. And then imagine the sense of relief that he would feel when Jesus declared him a son of Abraham in front of everybody. That's a part of the salvation Jesus brings. That's a part of the relief that Jesus brings to each and every one of us. Jesus pulls Zacchaeus to the center there, and he accepts him in front of everybody. We're told that salvation has come to his house that day. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to take up the call that Jesus would have for you, I think you have to embrace two truths. One is that Jesus accepts you. Some of you may be in the position of Zacchaeus when you come here or you go about your life just thinking, I don't belong in church. I don't belong here. You do belong. Jesus accepts you. That is the truth of it. As you are, Jesus accepts you. Now, there may be things to change in your life, but that happens after you embrace the acceptance that Jesus offers you. It's not conditional. Jesus accepts you. But in the same way Jesus accepts you, Jesus accepts others as well. Those people that you might want to exclude without even thinking about it. Those people that you've been taught to exclude. Those people that your news media tells you are ruining everything and we should exclude them. Jesus accepts them too. You don't get to choose who Jesus accepts and who Jesus doesn't accept. That's up to God. That's up to Jesus. And Jesus accepts more people than we probably realize. He's going to surprise us also. At the core of his ministry was accepting others, embracing them, that they might see his love and understand it. And at the core of Jesus' mission as the Messiah was going to the cross and dying for the sake of this world, that that invitation might be extended to anyone and everyone. That's the core of Jesus' call. And if you're going to take up the call he places on your life, it's going to involve, one, accepting yourself, and two, accepting others. That might make you a little uncomfortable. But that's the God that we worship. And that's what Jesus was doing that day with Zacchaeus. Please pray with me. Lord, it's so easy for us to want to try to exclude others, sometimes not even trying to just do it naturally, Lord. We've been taught that certain people don't belong, that certain people are the ones ruining everything. But Lord, we know that your grace extends farther than we could ever imagine. So Lord, help us to model your character. Help us to take that lesson with Zacchaeus and apply it to our lives. Help us to accept ourselves, accept others, Lord, to know that we belong and to know that we don't belong because we're special. We belong because of your grace. To know that others belong, not because of anything they have or haven't done, but because of your grace, because that's what you decided. So help us to accept you as Lord and to follow your example.
Love is spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so good to me.
There's no shadow you won't light up.